Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Hello, ladies. Are you able to hear me clearer now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Great. Not sure what's going on, but we are having some technical difficulties, but we're going to move right along. Thank you for joining in on Women Talk with Miss Worth It. How are you ladies doing this morning?
Great, thanks. How about you?
Doing marvelous, marvelous. It's a pretty day out here in Atlanta. Wish I had a porch because I'll be chilling on that thing. But I'm glad to have you. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning, Ms. Worth It. This is Cece. My pleasure to be along with this ride.
All right. Well, good morning, Cece. And we have another caller. Introduce yourself, please.
Yes, this is Sharonda calling in from North Carolina, and I'm so excited to be on the call.
Well, hello, Ms. Sharonda. Thank you for joining Ms. Worth It Speaks on today. Well, ladies, we have an interesting topic this morning. And this is the first of Women Talk with Miss Worth It. I was sitting down the other day and I was thinking, you know, I had a women's group and we kind of dissolved that for a period. And so I wanted to bring it back, but I wanted to bring it back in a different way. So, of course, as you ladies know and all of our listeners, you know that I am a woman of God. And so I try my best to listen. Sometimes I don't. But this time I did, and so I thought about, wow, we got Blog Talk Radio. Why don't we add a Woman Talk with Miss Worth It segment and get these ladies back involved in plenty of conversation? And so today we're talking about you ladies, single, dating, even the married women, breaking down the motivating forces behind your success. And so we're going to start off with, you know, a lot of people think that success only means that you blowed up, you're on the media, you're in front of the TV, you got tons of bank accounts with all this money, and you just spending here and there. But, Ms. Sharonda, since you have joined us as a single lady this morning, can you tell us a brief description of what you call success? Did we lose you, Sharonda? Well, Cece, are you there? Can you tell us that question, answer that question?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. My phone was on mute. I was talking and my phone was on mute.
Go right ahead, Sharonda.
Okay, so I think success for me is me feeling fulfilled with my life, with whatever work that I'm doing, and actually doing what I say that I'm going to do, regardless of what impact that it can make, whether it's small or whether it's global. I think for me, that's what makes me feel fulfilled, and feeling fulfilled and doing what I love to do and operating in my purpose, for me, that's success, whether that reaches 10 people or a million people does not define the magnitude of success, but just my own personal fulfillment and being able to make a difference in somebody's life, because if I make a difference in somebody's life, maybe they can make a difference in a million people's lives, or I might just make a difference in a million people's lives, you know, or, you know, but success to me is not defined necessarily by material status. It's not necessarily defined by the number of people that you reach. It's not necessarily defined by your great social media presence. It's about me just being fulfilled as a woman and actually being a woman of my word and doing what I say that I'm going to do.
Right. Well, that was great. That was very great. And, you know, I like that part where you said, you know, you may reach 10 people or you may reach one person. However, that person may reach 10 million people or 10,000 people, you know, and that's the key. I like that. That's a good aspect and, you know, a thought pattern to have. It's like, you know what, if I get one, hey, and that one can reach many more, it's still the same purpose. That's still a magnitude that has started from what you consider your success. So thank you, Sharonda, for that. That was awesome. Well, Cece, tell us what you think. What's your definition of success for you?
Success is defined to me by, I mean, it's from a Christian perspective, knowing what God's plan is for me and carrying out those plans. I mean, and I like how he gives it to me in like a long-term range, but then he also gives it to me daily, you know, like what my assignment is for that day so that I can see the successes, you know, made. And then sometimes just the satisfaction of knowing that this was my assignment and I fulfilled it even when I don't get to see, you know, the total outcome. So success is maximizing his potential in me.
All right, that's what's awesome. So when you say his, you are talking about the almighty, great and awesome King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Yes, that's my source. Yes.
Well, you know, we won't clear that up because everybody.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
I appreciate that. Yes, man. I don't ever want to do anything that would appear that I'm not giving him his just due or denouncing him. So thank you so much, Ms. Worthy, for bringing that point to light.
Yes, yes. And thank you for that awesome definition, you know, and that's a great thought pattern. That's a great accomplishment to maximize whatever it is. And so if you're listening, ladies, men, even the men, you can chime in and tell us what your thoughts are, especially when we get down into it, where we break down the motivating behind our success. But you can call us in at 516-595-8103, listeners, and tell us what your definition of success is in your life. And for me, ladies, I just, you know, I agree with both of you because I'm big about, you know, if I can just reach one, then I feel like I have made a great accomplishment because literally, especially in this time of life and in this journey and where I'm at in this journey, it's kind of hard to get through to some people. And so if you can get through to one and help channel them in the right direction and help them with whatever it is, it could be careers, it could be relationship, it can be spirituality, whatever it is, if they take the time to listen or take the time to watch, and they grab something from you and are able to enhance whatever's going on in their life, man, I am like patting me on the back and giving God all the glory because that's a journey just to reach one. So if you're listening, I want you to know, don't get caught up on the quantity of how many people you help or how many accomplishments you make, whether you wrote one book or 10 books, whether your book wasn't a number one seller, but there was one who read it in the same way. That's how you have to define your definition of success. Because quantity, speak on that just for a little bit. You know, numbers and listeners, I want you all to know that we all are, fortunately for us, our people do call in. We all are a part of an organization, Justice from A to Zayas. And so these ladies, Sharonda Onu is our CFO, and Cece, as you know her, Ms. Chelsea Carr, is our executive administrator. And so with our organization, we sometimes have conversation about numbers, about members, about volunteers, about sponsors, which all, you know, totally the main focus is about numbers. But we as an organization have made it clear that, you know,
It's not about the number, because I can have 200 people, Cece, on my team, but if only three of them doing the work, I mean, it's great to me. You don't need 200.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Ms. Worthen. And I kind of think about it like this. If my car is broke down on the side of the road and I have 500 friends in my phone, and out of those 500, I can't get one to come pick me up, I got quantity, but I ain't got no quality. Because a friend, going to who, if they see me in need, they're going to be of some assistance. So I totally believe in quality, not quantity, because, you know, that at the end of the day, it really doesn't mean anything. You know, you have it, but what do you really have?
Exactly. See, that
and
was so an awesome analogy. It really was, wasn't it, Ron? It was such an awesome analogy.
And look, I'm the main one. Like, definitely, when it comes to that, that's when I start deleting CC. Oh, you got to go. Click. Somebody answer the phone. And you see about that that you using Gary, my son. A couple of days ago that he phone called, but I don't think it was an emergency, but he called about three or four people, and he was like, really? And mind you, was one of them. None of y'all answered the phone. So I was just like, well, I'm glad you was okay, but you know, so you're right. And that's how it is with impacting lives. It's not about how many. It's about what you do with that one. Because you know what? If we focus on being successful in the quantity aspect, sometimes we won't fulfill the assignment. And what I mean by that is we may not complete that one assignment. We'll just put a dent in it. Okay, I did this, boom, I did this, boom, I did this, but you never see it through. So really, just because you tapped into 50 things, but if you didn't complete them, what you think about that, Ron? Y'all know we got to get
her. Why she's unmuting? Why she's unmuting? I thought that. Oh, you unmuted. Okay, go ahead, Sharon.
No, I mean I definitely think you're right, and I think being a part of just this from A to Z is just being a part of Ms. Worth's team. I think one of the things that you taught me is being a finisher, because it doesn't matter what you start, because anybody can start something. Anybody can start a business. Anybody can start a dream. Anybody can begin the process. But to do something great, and I'm not talking about in terms of the magnitude of, you know, necessarily how many people you reach, but in order to do anything great in life, you got to be a finisher. So it's important to be able to start what you finish and to focus on that one thing that you started, you know, and be more of like a laser gun versus a shotgun. Because in life, a lot of people start a whole bunch of things, but they don't finish one thing. So I think you're absolutely right, Ms. Worthen.
And that's a good point that you raised, Ron. And I think, too, and me and Ms. Worthen have talked about it, too. With that, it's important to know what your assignment is, so you know when you finished it. And when I say that, I mean, I thought the thing that came to mind is, if you're just a vertical line and that's all you were meant to be, then okay, be satisfied with that. But if my part of it was to put a dot at the top, then I know that you've defined it as an I, or to put a line across it, a horizontal line across it, to define it as a T. And I think sometimes, you know, we miss it because we don't know when this is a season that is up. You know, I'm like, this was all I was supposed to do. It's a difference than being lazy and just, you know, okay, I just don't want to do it, slowful. So it's important equally to know what your assignment is, so that when it's up, you can walk away with it like, well, that was all I was supposed to do. You know, and have that sense of completion and not like, you know.
Right. Exactly. Great, news, ladies. And we want to, that lady. All right. Okay. I wanted to make sure that you all could hear me clearly. So
I'm glad that you all made such awesome comments in regards to of your success and just how we define success. And so we want to dig deeper, a little bit deeper into this conversation. And I think the first thing I want to bring up out of this topic is your career. So with your careers, where you are right now today, what it took to get to there, tell us a little bit, let's talk a little bit about motivating forces behind your success and the motivating forces behind the success of others that we see, what we think, you know, maybe some of the motivating forces behind the success, especially with women. And so I was thinking about that question, and I was thinking about myself, you know, what has motivated me to do some of the things that I've done and make some of the accomplishments I've made. And of course, for and foremost, you know, as people of God, we're definitely going to acknowledge that God was our motivating force. He was the beginning, the end, and everything to it. But in just our humanistic part, you know, He has also placed people in our path to assist us along our journey. And it may be people, it may be things, it may be situations, whatever it is. And so as I thought about this, there are seven driving forces behind human motivation already that has been determined. And with that is self-actualization. And so every human person will try to accomplish what they can, as long as they feel that they have the capacity to do it. Some individuals may have the desire to be a wealthy businessman. Somebody may desire just to be, you know, just a successful musician or just a successful teacher or just a successful store manager. However, self-actualizing needs are a great motivation too, especially for people to do what they really, really desire. But however, in order for you to realize your full potential, we have to, and I think it really helps, to have mastered all the other needs that we're going to discuss. And some of those needs are self-protection, love and belonging, status and esteem, mate acquisition, mate retention, and psychological needs. That mate retention, that thing is funny, because Lord have mercy. It's like in today's society, it's like you are somebody depending on how many people you have dated, how many people you didn't got rid of. Like that's a big thing, and it's really sad, you know. But okay, so some of them. Human motivation is a very complex thing, and the driving forces behind it can be quite hard to discern sometimes. However, if we learn about the link between the different needs and the urge to satisfy them, then we can understand the main driving factors behind human motivation. And so let's start with the love and belonging. When you think about the love and belonging, Sharonda, what do you mean?
I can't hear you. I didn't hear the question.
Okay, I'm sorry. One of the driving forces behind human motivation is love and belonging, to belong. So when you hear that love and the need to belong is a motivating factor, what comes to your mind? Do you think it is? If so, why? If you don't, why?
Okay. Love and belonging, definitely. Okay, so are we talking about from the perspective of a career, like in your workplace, or just in general?
Yeah, why? You can use it as in general, but we're going to talk about career detail, okay. But this is just time into what has been determined scientifically or research basis of motivating factors behind human beings' success.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think love and belonging is a major contributing factor to a lot of people's success. I mean, even if you think about, you know, many of the success stories that we've known, like nationally, you know, where people didn't have a lot of people in their life to support them, but they did have one person. And that one person showered a love on them that was so liberating that it made them feel invincible and capable of doing anything. So I think that love and belonging, feeling belonged, is very important. And it is impactful on the success that you will have throughout your entire life. Love gives us life, you know? I mean, love in general from people gives us life. But just going into a spiritual perspective, love, us feeling loved by Christ and loved by him, regardless of, you know, what has happened, what we do, his love never changes. That is a major contributing factor to our success, because we feel like we can accomplish anything when we feel loved. I mean, you think about a child that their parents, they tell them, look, you can do anything. You can reach for the stars. That child literally believes everything that their parents say. It's just that when they grow up through life, life kind of beats them down, you know? And so now their imagination isn't so wide. Now their imagination isn't so big. But, you know, mm-hmm. So I definitely think that love contributes a lot to our success, even if it's just one person.
Yes, yes. I totally agree. What any comments you have on that, Cece?
I'm with Sharonda. It was interesting to me, being in the early childhood field, that the research said that the human being is the only creature created that cannot thrive and live without touch. And so when we look at love, we see that, you know, that it's showered in multiple forms, from the physical forms to just the verbal forms, but that love and support and acceptance and belonging is vital. I think it's
right.
Just vital to us.
Right.
Exactly. Yes, it is. And statistically, the research states that the need to be accepted and belong to a social group is a strong driving factor behind motivation. Once an individual has satisfied both their physical and their self-protection needs, they crave for social needs. And this can be love, affection, and belonging. Humans are social animals, and they are motivated to form meaningful relationships such as friendship, family relations, romantic attachments, and other interpersonal needs that give you a sense of belonging. This is one of the main reasons why humans form social communities, whether it is a family, a friend group, religion, or any other interest group. And so I totally agree. We definitely have to have some specific love to motivate us, to inspire us. And a lot of times, as they stated through research, it comes from friends and family, and showing us, and not just saying they love us, but showing us that they love us and believing in us and that we can do. For instance, I always think about when I wanted to go back to school, but I kept saying, man, I don't really want to do this. I mean, I had every excuse in the world just for myself, not for anybody else. It was me beating me, stopping me. And my children, oh my goodness, especially my oldest son, was like the motivating force to cause me to go back to school. And let me take it even a step further. Before then, when I wanted to go back, when I went back the second time, it was my ex-husband. And he was just like, what are you talking about? You just, you know, you so far, you know, you've been out of school so long. He was like, first of all, you read all the time. You probably know whatever it is they're going to teach you. And so he really encouraged me that you can do this. And then when I got ready to do it again, my children, you know, they were there then encouraging me. But the second time, they were just like, Mom, really? Are you serious? Like, you've already accomplished this. And that's something that we have to remember. Sometimes when we get that blankness or that insecurity, all we have to do is really just go back. And really, it's like, you've already done something like this before, or it may not be the same, but it was the strategy may be, you know, sort of the same. So you can do this. And so we must always, you know, look back, but also we always have that person or person who will encourage us. And so that love is very important. Let's jump on this other one real quick. Self-protection. Self-protection. Once the psychological need have been met, an individual craves for safety and security. And I would agree, we all do. This is born out of a desire for self-protection. While early humans had a completely different idea of staying protected, today it's a little different. Security needs can include safe neighborhoods, access to health care, steady employment, and protection from environmental forces. Fulfilling these needs can be a great motivating factor. And I totally agree, because, I mean, you definitely, you know, when you think about all of the things that go on in today's society, you want to feel safe in your home, you know. You want to feel safe in your neighborhood, you know, and nothing is 100% safe, but for me, I'm good because I trust God, and then I trust the wisdom that he gives me, and I try my best to stay in tune with the when he's speaking to me. Like when he said, no, you don't need to go there, then I try to stay my love behind right where I'm at. When you have that, and you have that security, that causes you to be motivated to move forward in other things, because if you're afraid, fear can really stop you from doing a lot of things, ladies. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes, indeed. About self-preservation, I also thought about, I think that, what was it? I thought about just how we reserve ourselves, how we don't share, you know, all we are with someone, you know, that's, you know, withholding ourselves, staying safe within our comfort zone. And then when you talked about motivating factors in that, like you have people that can recognize that and pull things out of you. So even if you have that fear, even if you're not aware of it, I think about you oftentimes, it's worth it, because there are things that I said I was going to do, like write a book. I mean, I would never profess being on radio wasn't something, but you know, you have people in your life who aspire to great things, and they pull you with them, even if you're like, okay, I didn't even know I want to do that. I didn't know I could do that, you know.
So, and especially when you've been like, okay, you know, I need you to do this. And you're like, really? Like, I don't really have a desire to do this. This is your thing. But because there we fall into that second portion is love. Because when we love a person, we know that we have this special connection with them. We can look at who it is they're asking. One, we know they're not going to ask us anything to do or be a part of that is, you know, going to hurt, harm, or go against, you know, what your beliefs are. That's the first thing. Two, you look at, you know what, I'm not sure how this is connected to me, but this is my sister, my friend, my mother, my cousin, and this is what's going to help them to get to the next level. And so that right there brings in that love, that motivation of love. Because, as you stated, CC, you know, you didn't have an idea to do this or be a part of writing, you know, some portions in a book. But because of the connection, the love connection, not only were you, you know, asked to do it, but you were drawn to do it because of the love. And so that plus the protection, the self-protection, you know, you stated, and as you stated, we have to feel secure with an individual. So we know that this individual will protect us and cover us. And so all of it kind of links together. Wouldn't you say, Ron, it kind of just pulls together?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely think so. I definitely
right.
do. Yeah.
And we're not going to go into grand detail with the others, but I'm just going to repeat those because I want us to now get into individually, or not really, but collectively as women and individually for yourselves, talking about the motivating forces behind your success in your career. So the other ones were status, as I stated before, mate acquisition, mate retention, and psychological needs. So these are seven driving forces behind human motivation. And so for us to be motivated, we need those seven steps or seven courage us and to ignite a fire within us. And so we want to always look at those because we really do. We go through all of them. We go through the self-protection. We go through the self-actualization, love and belonging. We go through, you know, mate acquisition, and mate can be, you know, a friend or a male or, you know, an opposite sex or whatever, as well as the psychological needs. So now let's take this thing. And it, listeners, I see you out there listening. I see people pulling on and you're taking it all in. But of course, if you have a comment or a question, don't be shy. Come on, give us a call at 516-595-8103. CC, Ron, or myself will be obliged to answer your question or give you just what our thought pattern is on it. So give us a call. All right, ladies, so let's talk about this thing. So, Ron, tell us a little background about your career. What is it that you do? Give us a little background about that. And before you do that, let me share with you ladies now. This is not being recorded today as far as video recording that I'll post. So this will just be a voice recording that will also, it's live now, but we'll also post it, listeners, on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. But however, I just want to share with you ladies, you know, during these times, you can get a little hungry. So if I'm mute, I'm trying to chow down on these good, when I say good, home cooked grits and egg with the cheese. Good breakfast this morning after being a little under the weather for 24 hours. Yes. But yeah, notice that. She's a little comfortable. I don't want to chime in your ear because it's too good to do that to you. So go ahead and tell us, Ron, a little bit about your career.
Well, of course, because Ms. Worth it, said it earlier, I'm the current CFO of Justice from A to Z. However, I also am a financial coach. I have a business called On Time Financial Incorporated. We assist people with basic budgeting skills, credit restoration, and credit coaching. I also do, I'm a mental health specialist for an agency, and I assist clients that have mental health issues and legal issues, and I go within the court systems and I advocate for them.
Man, I tell y'all, you know, they used to have, and this, no offense to anyone, but you remember there used to be this commercial, I think it was, or a movie, and there was this Jamaican guy, and he talked about how many jobs he had.
I know where you're going with that.
You name about 5 or 6 jobs. Girl, no wonder you don't never call nobody back.
So let's just leave it at 1, a coach.
No, we love it. We love it because, see, what people don't know is the drive, you know, and there's a drive behind women that, you know, makes us do what we have to do so we can get what we got to do and we can take care of what we need to take care of. And so we applaud you. Excuse me. Kudos to Sharonda Arnold, this professional woman. And we're excited about all the accomplishments you have made. But, man, with all of that behind you, boy, I can't imagine where you're headed. And so now that you have shared with us, well, actually, let's pause. Now let's take and get Cece to share with us your career. Kelsey, tell us a little bit about your career and what it is.
My career path. I am a early childhood educator for more than, this is 25 years now, going on 30 years. I have been actively involved in the field of empowering young minds to their max potential. It is my passion and it is my drive. Just to be able to help young people sponge up all the world around them and know how to disseminate the information that they get.
Okay, and can you just tell us, like, what was that title again, your title?
I actually didn't give a title per se. I've had multiple titles. Right now, I'm doing something different. I'm actually in vein with Sharonda. I'm doing some things with fund finding and Head Start. I'm doing more of the financial aspect, but I have done on-site administration. I've done education coordination. I've done management and supervision. So I've acted in many capacities, teacher assistant, in the area of early child education. Right now, I'm the non-federal share coordinator with Head Start, and that is, you know, the umbrella I've been under with regards to driving the efforts for early childhood education, Head Start.
Okay, great. And, yeah, I heard her, you guys. I did hear that she, I did know that she did not give a title, but I needed to eat my last little bit of grits and eggs. I needed her to say something so I can get that down. So anyway, awesome women and great careers. You all, as you heard, they are, their fields allow them to be into multiple aspects of impacting lives of young people, older people. And so we want to applaud them for all the work that they do. And so with that being said, we know that there are major, or maybe not, motivating forces behind their success. And so that's what we want to talk about. Like, you know, because there are sometimes, there's a comment made on social media, and I don't remember it verbatim, but to sum it up, the person was saying to another person, like, you didn't get there by yourself. Someone had to encourage you, motivate you, even tell you you wasn't getting there. That's a motivating force right there for somebody to tell you what you can't do. So, you know, that happens. And sometimes we see people, you know, where they reach their success, but they never say anything about how they got there or who helped them get there. Or they never even show any gratitude and say thank you to someone, you know, who was a force behind them. So with there being so many women who are in the career field, and this is 2015, you know, we don't have a lot of stay-at-home moms or housewives. However, that is a major career within itself. So we applaud you ladies, because I don't want you to ever think that, you know, we disregard you because you stay at home. Because, honey, that is work. I've been there, done that. You got to take care of the house. You making sure the meals. You taking care of the kids. You picking up the cleaners. You setting up, getting the schedules together for appointments, medical appointments. You even setting appointments for your husband. You taking care of everything. So you ladies, you have a career within yourself. And if one of you out there and you're listening, please give us a call at 516-595-8103 and tell us about the force, the motivating force behind your success. With all of that, I don't see how some of us just didn't pack up and run. So it has to be the motivating force behind it to stay at home. Ron and Cece, let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of the motivating forces behind your success. Ron, I know you talked about working in finance, and that's a recent, a new career shift for you, is it?
It's fairly new, about a year and a half new.
Okay. So tell us, like, what caused you to go in that direction? What motivated you to pick up on that aspect of your career?
I think what was very motivating for me is growing up, my dad was a single dad, and he always managed his finances in an amazing way. He was very calculated. He, you know, budgeted. He made what he had work with the four children that he was raising. And so that was always very inspiring for me. Of course, when I got to college, I did the exact same thing that he told me not to do. You know, we always do that. So when I went to college, you know, my FICO score, just with him building my credit, my FICO score was a 720. And after my freshman, sophomore year of college, it went down drastically because I did the exact thing that he told me not to do. But just as growing up and going through life and talking to my friends, I realized how many of us, we just really don't know the basics of budgeting. We really don't. And then also working in the mental health field, you know, when people are deemed as incapable of managing their funds, it they have to get a payee. And so them having a payee is what prevents them from going into crisis situations, that they use their money and they're not able to sustain their housing, of course they're going to go into crisis. So it was just so many different motivating factors. One was I'm realizing through my peers that you know, budgeting was a challenge for them. And then also being in the mental health field with clients needing payees and assistance with budgeting their money, it just really struck another passion. And I was trying to figure out, how can I do something to help them, in addition, create a profitable stream of income for myself. And so that's where that came from. And a lot of us believe that we're in the idea of lack, like scarcity, that we don't have enough. But the reality of it is that you may have enough, you're just not managing what you have. And so what I do with my clients is I help them to understand that, you know, in some situations they may not have enough, but in 90% of the time they do have enough, they're just mismanaging. And so that's why I come in and help them out. And so they're very passionate for me, because I feel like if you get your finances in order, it's a lot of other things that will come in order. A lot of other things will come together when you get that finance perspective in order. And it really increases our confidence, you know, our self-control. And so yeah, it's something that I'm very, very passionate about.
Well, Ron, that was great. And I caught a couple of things. A motivating factor, your father being a single parent, some of your friends that caused you to, you know, look at that in depth. And, you know, when you were talking about your father, I laughed because I remember a year or so ago, you were talking and you were sharing with me, and I want to say it was about a phone bill or something like that. But however, you were saying, like, man, if he would just pay mine, because he paid, I think it was his electric bill, like his electric bill is paid up for the year. And I was like, what the devil?
Yes, my father has a credit on his electricity bill of like $700. But get this, I don't know what bill we were talking about. Maybe I was talking about another bill, because let me tell you, my daddy, when he came from Korea, he wanted a cell phone. He never had a cell phone before. And I asked him, I said, Dad, you know, hey, why don't you just get a plan on my phone? Because I knew that he would pay extra every month. And if he did that, then I would never have to pay another phone bill a day in my life. So when he came back from Korea, I got him a phone on my line, and I kid you not, I have literally, in the past 7 or 8 years, I've literally maybe paid $150 on our cell phone bill, because he paid his bills up and up and up.
You know, that's the funniest thing to me. Cece, when I said, I was so tickled. I think I told people about it, like, this man has a credit, $700 on his bill. And I'm like, that was the best move you could have made. See, I made a move like that a long time ago, too. I got on my dad's insurance for my car, and it decided that he would never take my money. I think it was like $35, because, you know, he's good, and so they don't charge him. But one moment before we go into CC, we have a caller on the line. Welcome to Miss Worth It Speaks, chiming in for Women Talk with Miss Worth It. Hello, caller.
Hi, Miss Worth It. This is Eulalia Hall.
Well, hello, Miss Eulalia. Thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Well, good, good. Are you just chiming in for our kind of good old conversation, or did you have a question for one of the ladies?
Oh, well, I was just chiming in to your good old conversation, taking a break from what I was doing.
Okay, well, great, great. So you will, we're enjoying having you be a part of this. So right now we're just talking about the career of the women today and their motivating forces. So Cece is getting ready to let us know a little bit about the motivating forces behind her major accomplishments in her career. And before you go, Cece, Fernanda, I just want to say, I want the listeners to know, if you listened very well, even though she only spoke about the finance portion of her career, getting into this new field, there were some driving forces that caused her to really want to get into that. A long-term one with her father, finances and how to budget, and then and being able to talk to them and share, you know, what she grew up on, what she learned, and even to be able to share how she went against the grain plot. But sometimes we do that, and then she had to get it back in order. And Shawanda, I do want to say this to you. You made a comment about a lot of times
people have enough money. People have enough money. They just don't budget it. Okay.
And just talk about that. You're right. People sometimes do have enough money. I now have been fortunate to work in finance for years now, but in a different area recently. I was working at a tax, well, I guess I'm still employed, it's just that off season, working for a tax company, and there were audits we would have to do. And so in some of the audits, I was able to look at people's accounts and see how much money they spent on fast food. And so one of my clients, I was sharing with her, you know, I said, wow, you never cook, do you? And she said, why would you say that? I said, as I was doing your audit, this is how you eat out in fast food. Now, we're not talking about the fine dining restaurants. I'm just talking about fast food. She was like, I don't eat out that much. Maybe probably like $50 a month. Like, yeah. She said, you want to know the total? She said, you got it. I said, yeah, of you, but also I added it for myself because I'm going to look at mine. She had over $5,000 in fast food a year.
Wow. Yeah. I can definitely believe that, because before I started utilizing my budget, me being by myself, I spent about $600 on eating out on a monthly basis. And that didn't include like groceries or anything like that.
So it was the same thing. That was only fast food. I mean, Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, all the fast food chains. That didn't include her Walmart, Kroger, Publix grocery bill, or places like Fogo de Chico and, you know, fine dining restaurants. So it really opened my eyes to, you need to go back and see how much you eating out, because your income ain't her income, and so you really shouldn't be eating out, you know.
Yeah, I stayed silent on that. I was already aware of some spending challenges, so I stayed silent because it was alarming whenever I did it, you know, some time ago. It's unbelievable. And it's so easy to do because you just a little bit here, a little bit there, but those little bits add up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, Cece, go ahead and tell us, you know, what are some of the motivating forces behind your career?
Need has been a motivating factor. Family has been a motivating factor. But the biggest motivating factor has been conflict and opposition. From childhood, I have had some learning challenges. And it wasn't that I couldn't learn, it was just I learned differently. So people were always quick to say what I couldn't do. And gratefully, that became a motivator. Like, oh, yes, I can. You ain't going to tell me what I, you know, instead of me just internalizing and saying, oh, I can't do it, you know, God put that drive in me to say, oh, yes, I can. I'm going to show you. And when I finish, you won't eat them words. So conflict and opposition have been a great motivating factor to me persevering in my career, doing what people said that I could not do.
Wow, that's amazing. And yeah, and that just goes to show, you know, there are different things that motivate us. And I used that earlier, you know, before Ron spoke, just saying, sometimes the people who say you can't are the ones who motivate you. There's a story, and I wish I could find it. I guess I'm going to have to do my research. Or we got Miss Eulalia on the line. She, she's a really good researcher, so maybe she can try to research that information for me. A young lady living in the project and saw this story about her, and her father was in prison, her mother was on drugs. However, that was her motivating factor to become someone that people would respect, and she would be able to make major accomplishments. And not only was she looking just for herself, but she had two siblings quite younger than her, and she made it to bring them along for the ride. And there was a teacher who reached out that even motivated her the more. She saw that there was something going on in this child's life just because she saw her clothing. You know, they weren't clean, and most times it was the same thing. And she reached out to this young lady, and the young lady was very leery at first of the risk of her and her siblings going to foster care and being separated. So she didn't share anything until she was really sure that she could trust this lady, and she did. And so there are different things that motivate us. I know for me, in my younger days, as a young woman and married in my 20s, my greatest motivating thing was my children, motivating factor was my children. And at the time, it was only one, but however, that was my greatest motivator, is that I was going to be the best mother. And back then, I was like, I'm going to be the greatest mother, you know, but I was determined to be the best mother I could be to my children and make sure that they had the best life that I could. And I thank God with him and the people he put in my life, I was able to do that, you know, and not saying that there was no errors and there was no, you know, stumbling blocks, but I never gave up, and I did that. And one of the other things was that I wanted to be assured that my children would not only graduate high school, that wasn't enough for me, but to, because it was like, that's what you're supposed to do. So my thing was that my children were going to be college graduates. They were going to not only just go to college, but they were going to obtain, you know, this information that was going to explode their mind and make them think and cause them to be greater. And they did that, you know, and they are very intelligent adults now. And so that was one of the things for me, and that motivating came from having so many family that as I was growing up who did not finish high school, who didn't go to college, and I just wanted to make that change for my children, for a new generation, and then for them to be a motivated factor for nieces and cousins that were behind them, you know, so great things, different things work for us, and the key is that we must realize them and make sure that we can achieve whatever it is we're achieving with that motivating force pushing us. Eulalia, thank you so much for joining us. Since you're on the line, tell us a little bit about your career path, you know, because we've determined that success, and I'm sure you was listening before you called in, but success is not determined based on quantity or, you know, how much money you make or how, you know, are you in the public eye? Are you on television? You know, the thing is that success is making, no matter what it is, and fulfilling it to the end. So you can be successful at being a dishwasher, because your thing is to make sure that those dishes are spotless and clean for most people, and that there's no germs in your past. And not only that, it's how you accept what you do and just put forth more effort to do it well. So you're working in the kitchen as a dishwasher, but however, you're kind and you're gentle and you're giving tips to other people who come in and out through that kitchen. And you see, you know, not only do these people enjoy the food, but there's no complaints about dishes being dirty, something left on the fork. And then also the people you're interacting with in that kitchen, you get that, oh, you know what, thank you, Miss So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, you was telling me about this, blah, blah, and man, that worked for me. So see, we don't look at, there's a bigger picture besides what we do as far as our job assignment, but we're actually fulfilling other assignments because we're connecting with other people. So tell us a little bit about your career path.
Okay. Y'all, please excuse me if you hear noise or children yelling. I'm doing some volunteer work this morning, so it's a bunch of people. Anyway, I started off in retail, and I enjoy retail because I like talking to the people and getting to know people. So in doing that, I was able to build my clients, and they would always remember me, and they would always, you know, come back and say thank you for something I did. And I didn't think I was doing anything special, just remembering someone's name or remembering where they work or remembering that they're going to a wedding, and then they come back in and ask them how it was. They thought that was the greatest thing ever, and I just didn't get it. I was like, okay. Moving forward, when I got into education, just speaking to people and sharing my story, and that impact in them was just really amazing to me, and it made me feel good. So what I try to do now is my main goal, because most of my children are grown, they're I think they're on the right path. I've taught them so. So it looks like they're, excuse me, I'm sorry, the church bells are ringing. But they are, yes, just one second. Okay. Yes. Yes. So, yes, I'm at the church, as y'all can hear.
Bells will be ringing.
So I'm just trying to make a difference in people's lives, even by doing little things. Like if someone, you know, has something going on, me just thinking about them, and that's just made a difference to people. It's just amazing. So now I consciously make an effort, as in volunteering with my organization I'm a part of, which is Justice from A to Z. Also doing other volunteer work. Like today I'm doing the Stop Hunger Food Drive at First Presbyterian where I live, and packing bags of food to go overseas for those people in need. It's just making a difference. And that's the most important thing that I think I have done that was important in my career, and just trying to speak into the lives of other people and just, you know, thinking of people as I would like for them to think about me and
good.
Making a difference that way. Oh, Lord. It's 12 o'clock, so they're going to play a whole song, y'all. So I'm going to get
career. If you do a lot of volunteering, helping in the community, and you know that is a career sometimes for people. You know, everything about your career don't have to be about getting paid. You know, you receiving money, at least monetary payment, because you do receive payment, you know, when you do volunteer and you help out others. So that is definitely a great career path, even though you know, you may have a job or you may have another career that allows you to fulfill the monetary part that is needed. But however, when you volunteer and you have a passion to help people, that is amazing. I know that you muted Ms. Shalalia because of the church bells. Ms. Cece was going to give us a song with that. So we say, we are here to accommodate, honey. We are here to accommodate. But one of my other questions for you, and if you feel that you need to text it or put it on Facebook, you can answer it that way if the bells are real, real loud. Tell us, in, you know, retail and volunteers, you know, and being a part of the organization, what or who were some of the people that motivated you on that career track? And so I'm going to, we're going to move on as, you know, and I'll check to see if you text me or however. And so we want to thank her for that information.
Okay. Well, my daddy, first of all, as well as other family members, and I'll pick the rest. So one of the people is on the line right now, Miss Worth It. But my dad was very instrumental, as well as my grandparents and friends and family.
Okay,
and
Miss
Worth It.
Miss Worth It got a little prop there. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I tried to do a little bit for my piece, just a little bit. But, yeah, I know, and I'm glad you said your father, because that's what I kind of thought you would say. Eulalia also has an amazing father, and I can actually say for the ladies on the line, Ron, Cece, and Eulalia, they all have that in common about their dads, and that's just a great thing. And Ron actually was raised, you know, by her father as a single parent. Eulalia and Chelsea, Eulalia's father is just a sweetheart. I mean, he will come running about his baby girl at the drop of a dime. And I had the opportunity to see that firsthand. So, and just with Cece, I know, you know, when her dad come to town, all things stop. Like, child, you're not her friend no more. She don't know you. She forgot. I'm glad. Whatever man she had during the time when her daddy showed up, honey, his date got broke. You better believe that. Her daddy's in town, and everything else stopped. Of course, you know, with Ron, we already heard how her daddy pays the cell phone bill. She's about 45, and he's still paying her cell phone bill. So
I am 28.
And listen to this. Now, Ron is like my goddaughter. She's like my daughter. Yeah, my daughter by another mother. She's been around as a youngster. She first was known to me by being a friend of my oldest son, Isaiah Barnett, the fabulous and awesome Mr. Ernest Zayas Joaquin Barnett. Yes. The best of friends. I mean, like, literally, they were such good friends that you couldn't tell people that they had. But he loved Ron just like a sister, like his sister Deontay. I mean, just a great relationship. And we embraced her, and she just became a part of our family at a young age. And so with her, you know, the conversation, you know, she's always talking about her dad. And, you know, he's just been such an inspiration in her life. And so my nephew, Nabari, shout out to Nabari, little young king. We were talking about the age of the ladies that I am connected to via my best friends, through my children, because that's how I really get friends. My children get me friends, y'all. I guess I'm mean or something, but I didn't get Chelsea and Eulalia like that, and neither did my other two friends. I didn't get them through my kids. So I finally got my best friends on my own, me and the Lord. However, other people came from my children because I think they felt like my mama needed somebody to talk to. But however, Nabari, we were just talking about age and the different ages, I think. And so he said, well, how old is Shawanda? Something like that. So I said, I think she's 32. So she's either 32 or 31, but she's around Zaya's age. Because I think they're the same age. He was like, what? Like, he was in total awe. He was in shock. So he was there with me, Corey. Shout out to Bruce Marley, who does our introduction music. We want to thank him. Great, great artist. So if you're looking for someone to make you some beats, someone to do tap, someone to do fix out, Bruce Marley, Corey Gray. So we were just looking at him. He was in shock, y'all. He was like, what? 30? What? He was just like, crap. Well, how old you thought she was? He was like, he thought you were in your 20s, Ron. So I was going to say, okay, that head going to blow up. So good to you. And I was sharing with him, Corey said, yeah, that's how we are. You know, we don't age. And honestly, I'd really say, you know, when you take care of your body and you take care of your spirit and you take care of your mind, you just hold God, allow you to have that glory, you know. So when you're listening, you know, you don't have to get tore up drunk every weekend or 3 days a week. You don't have to. Because trust me, you don't need to worry. Whatever it is, give it to God. If you believe, give it to him. Let him take care. Because, I mean, if you can't change it, what's the sense in worrying? And
right.
Exercise. Listen, ladies, if you're listening, exercise. I don't care if it's just a 1 mile walk a day. And I'm never need to be doing it, but I'm going to encourage you to do what I halfway do. Because it works. And I know it works. I just need to be motivated to get back into it. And but two things to keep you looking young and you and keep you feeling youthful, because it doesn't matter really how you look. If you can do nothing, it's still worth it. You know what I'm saying? You can look But if you can't get up and move because you didn't wore your body down, you don't want to exercise, you just a couch potato or whatever it is, and you can't even bend down to pick something, well, don't nobody really care how you look no way. So, but we want to send kudos to all the women out here in the world, women being successful, all the women who are being driven and just going for what you know. Be healthy so that you not only get the comments, but that you can live the life of a youthful person. Because, of course, we will age, but there's nothing wrong with aging, like Diana Ross or I forgot the other lady who just made her, or Diane Carroll, that's right. Diane Carroll and Diana Ross, these women are in their 70s or 80s or something like that, and good God, they still look better than me. Hold on to them, but I'm coming for you, girls. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, just to be able to age gracefully, you know? That's the idea, and you can do that when you take care of your body. You can do that when you take care of your spirit, you know? You can do that, you know, and even the word says that the Lord says he preserves those that are in him. And so
that's right. And you know, he will. But like you said, we have to do something too, because a lot of us are saying, well, we good old Christians and we don't need to exercise. The devil is a lie. So you need to exercise. You need to work. Faith without work is dead. So we need you to
yes, and let's stop rebuking the calories out of the pecan pie. Let's just put the pecan pie down.
Okay, see, now she's starting trouble. What about this? I mean, Cece, what about the ample amount? Eat a portion of the pecan pie and exercise.
That's great.
Sounds good, but I do believe you have not because you have not. So I do it in moderation, but I always pray, Lord, let me keep the nutrients and not the fat. But once, but I'm not able to do it either. You know, I do use wisdom, but I put that word into it too.
I love it.
That's a good one, Cece. How is it working out for you?
Believe it or not, because I lost it, but now I do. Don't get me wrong. I do watch what I eat because I'm a sweet person, but I don't overdo it, and I drink plenty of water. I don't believe in dieting, but you know, all things in moderation. It's been working out for me just fine, and I still get my exercise in because I got to be quite healthy.
That's right. So for you listeners, we just wanted to make it clear that she does put all the components together so that she can have the great outcome that God says she can have. And so we want to thank Miss Eulalia Hall for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it. She dropped off. Eulalia is the compliance officer for, Justice from A to Z Incorporated. And just a great, great young woman. She has become one of my best friends, so that's the bestie. And so I want to thank you for chiming in to Women Talk with Miss Worth It, as well as Eulalia and Chelsea were members of the women's group called Women of Righteousness, Truth, and Honor. And for those of you who don't know and you are listening, that's why this is called Ms. Worth It, Women of Righteousness, Truth, and Honor. And we are it because of who we are in Christ Jesus. And so we want to thank you all for listening as well. But we're going to jump right on to relationships. So we've talked about the career and the things that motivate us behind our career. And to end that portion of it, I just want to say, as I stated, there were numerous things that motivated me as far as going back to school. And there are different things that motivate you. For instance, the loss of my oldest son, Isaiah Joaquin Barnett, has motivated me to write a devotional book, which will be coming out this year, 2016. Thank you. And I want to give kudos to my bestie, Chelsea Carr, known as Cece, for taking the time to write the prayers on my book as I asked for her to be a part of that with me and write the prayers. And so I have completed the majority of the editing of my book. Was hoping to find someone to go through it one more time for me. But just really been kind of difficult finding the person who is really not connected to me to do that. But we're getting it done, and the book will be released this year. It will be self-published. And so that motivating force came from the death of my son and the first 30 days after he went home to be with the Lord and my experiences. So when that book does come out this year, I pray that you all will get you a copy and read it and be blessed. Because if you haven't experienced the loss, not just the loss of a child, which is detrimental, and I pray that you all never experience that, those who have not, but just the loss of whatever it is, the loss of a career, the loss of a relationship, you know, the just a loss sometimes can be so heavy. But I want you to know that as you read this book, you will know that you can and you will get through. It's just about the steps you take. CeCe lost 10 pounds. It was about the steps you took to accomplish the dream. And Rhonda embarked on a new career path, and it was the steps that she took to allow her to get there. So those motivating forces behind these ladies for their success are empowering, and they're also uplifting. And so if you're listening, please, please, please recognize and always remember to be a part of something that is just bigger than you. And so we want to thank you for that. And so we did lose one of our callers. I think it was Shawanda. And we thank Shawanda for joining in with us today. And so, CeCe, as we bring it to a close, we want to talk about the relationships that have, you know, what motivating forces came out of those relationships or was forced into those relationships. Thank you, Shawanda, for joining us, for joining back with us. And so we're going to jump into the relationship aspect of it. And, you know, we all have our ups and downs. We didn't have any guests who are married who have joined us today, except for Joa. Not married, have been married, how many times we are not going to discuss, and maybe we will. But relationships, let's talk about that, lady. Being women of success, being women of accomplishments, being women who have made impact into the lives of people and communities, and just being a motivating force yourself. Let's talk about relationships now. I know that Ron is currently in a relationship. You don't have to give his name. You don't have to do anything of that sort. But we just want you to share about how your relationship has been, you know, a motivating force for you in the success of your life in this season.
Okay, definitely. Well, first, I just want to let everybody know that it hasn't always been that way for me. This time around, I think I have been extremely blessed. I really have. But the relationship for me, it has been very motivating for me, because he meets me where I am, and it's like we both call me out when he feels like I'm being slack or when he feels like I can do better and I'm not presenting my best self. And so I think for me, that was one of the, also, he was the person that helped me to move forward in on-time financial. You know, everybody can say that, oh, that's a good idea, go for it. But how many people are really willing to sit down with you to help you? So it was like, together, we actually created the logo. Together, we created a lot of things together. And he gave me a lot of ideas, and I bounced off of him. And so I think one of the things that has caused our relationship to be successful is definitely one, as a Christian woman, establishing boundaries, you know. And another thing that has been a success for us is just us knowing that, you know, our purpose is bigger than us, and that we're always striving to be better. We're always striving to be our best self. We're always striving to walk in the purpose that God has placed us. It's been a blessed relationship, and I think that it's been blessed because, you know, it's just not me and him in it. It's me, him, and Christ. So that's been definitely impactful on my career, because we definitely inspire each other to be our best self. And when we're not being our best self, we're able to call each other out.
Right, that's great. And you know what? One of the things I picked up out of that, CT, and I can relate to this, having someone who will call you out on things and encourage you, you know, because a lot of people, they don't like to be called out, you know, on certain things. But when you can allow a person who cares about you and a person who admire and love you and just a person you can trust to be able to call you out on your good and your bad, because when they call you out on your bad, they're bringing that to your understanding and to, so that you can correct that to fall in place for your good. And so that's a great thing to have a man who not only supports you, but encourages you and will help you to correct those things that need to be corrected. And another thing, Ryan, that I like that you said, this is good. A lot of people will say, oh, yeah, you can do that. But when you need somebody to help you, it could be a small thing. You know, where are you then? So, you know, you can be more than just a yay sayer or a nay sayer. You got to be, you know, you got to come with something, some support. You support.
You
can do it.
Definitely. And I think another thing that I did mention is that he knows the areas that I need to be strengthened in. And so you may not even know this, but I'm not a good starter. Like, I need help with A and B, and I'm going to just give to C, B, D, and F. And then I might have to come back for G, you know. And so he recognizes that. So when any project that I'm trying to do or anything that I'm trying to do, he really helps me establish the A and B, and he knows that I can take it to C, D, E, and F, you know.
Right. Okay, great. And so now, Cece, tell us a little bit with you, relationship-wise, you know, the relationships that help to be a motivating force in your success.
Well, my would have to be, of course, outside the obvious, God is always number one, but it would have to be because I'm not in a compatible relationship in terms of a significant other. So the relationships that have helped me have been my parental relationship. My child is really instrumental in, because he's close enough to me to know my strengths, my weaknesses, and not be afraid of my, you were wrong with that, he has been a great support. My father has been a great support. But the thing about it that Sharonda mentioned that I echoed, and I'm learning even the more as an adult, that when you have relationships that you can value the person, even when they don't give you, when they give you the constructive criticism. You know, I've discovered a lot of times people can't go to their next level because they don't want to take the fact that they're not perfect, that they have some things they need to work on. They don't like how the person said it. But at the end of the day, I feel like this. If your breath is not fresh, however I say it, that you need a mint, you still need a mint. So we can take those things and really just, you know, take them for what they are and move past all the emotion of it. It helps us be better people. So, yeah, the people who are my circle, my best friend will tell me in a minute. You know, and I appreciate that because that's really love. You can't say you love me and see me walking off the cliff and just let me go. I ain't got time. I ain't going to get into it, you know. So it's been the people that are really in my close circle. My child, my best friend, my father, and even some close colleagues.
Great. What that is, and I'm glad you said that, Cece, because I tell you what, your children, if they don't keep you 100, man, who else? I mean, and they come, you know, people don't like you said, you know, it doesn't matter how I tell you your breath stinks. The fact is your breath stinks and you need a mint. But the fact that they, because I tell you, children, they don't fix it up. They just don't tell you. You know, they don't have time for all that. It's just like they come off the top of the dome and they give it to you and they give it to you well. And I can attest to that as her friend, as her best, I do sometimes, all the time, I give it to you raw. I'm very seldom coming from a perspective of, I'm really concerned about how Ron or Chelsea or Gary or somebody's going to take this. I'm telling you, you take it how you want, and you and God deal with it later. And, you know, we're not saying that he's not working on me with that, but right now he haven't told me to do it any different because guess what? That's kind of who I am, and I still love you, you know, so that's great. And, yeah, all of us don't have a significant other going on, at this point in time in our life, yours truly. But I will have to, you know, give a little kudos to some of the men that have been a part of my life. My children's father and my friends and people close to me, he would talk to me that all the time. Like any relationship I've been in, I try to learn something. And so I will not say that the men, because first of all, I was with them. That means they were somebody. It's just that whatever it is that caused us to go our separate ways, we weren't mature enough to deal with at the time. And so, but they, to be with me, you have to be pretty much an all right guy, more than all right. And so I have learned a lot, and they have been motivating forces behind my success in life. My father, you know, my brothers, even some of, you know what, this is what's funny, guys. We talked about, you know, how certain, there are different type of motivating forces that can cause you to do things. The negative things that I've seen in my life has also been a motivating force behind my success, because it taught me what not to do. Like, yo, I do not want to act like that. I do not want to be a part of that. I don't want to get involved with that. So, and the fact that someone else didn't do something that they should have done that would have been great for them has also been a motivating force. And so I want to give kudos to my children's fathers. And just some of the men that I dated, you know, you taught me something, and I'm sure, not being cocky, but I'm pretty sure I taught you something, and so I hope it was a motivating force. You know, even to the point, y'all, I dated a guy who was separated, and I motivated him to go back to his wife and seek forgiveness with the Lord, me too, and get yourself together, because just because you separated don't mean you single. You are still married. And so for all of the listeners out there, ladies and men included, if you're dating somebody who separated but not legally divorced, you ought to stop. Dump it right now. Pray, seek forgiveness for both of you, and encourage them to go back to his wife or go back to his her husband and meet or end his wife. But however, don't allow yourself to be caught up in a relationship with somebody that's still connected to someone else, because you should. And so even in that, I'm telling you, that relationship motivated me because, one, I don't believe in it, and then I found myself caught up in it. And, you know, I motivated that person that don't do. You know, now I don't know if they're still together now, but I know I motivated him to go back, fix it, or end it right, you know. And so there are a lot of different things that people we can help one another with, and we should be more attentive to those things, and we should try more to actually be motivators instead of discouragers and deterrents. Let's motivate each other to be all that we can be, and let's not tear down people's career. Just because I'm not on Atlanta Housewives don't mean I ain't a bad broad. Look at here. I'm bad because God said, because I was created in the image of Christ Jesus. I'm not just some throwaway chick because I'm not on, I'm not Beyonce. So for all the ladies out there, just because you don't have that career, that does not mean that you're not someone. You are. And believe that for yourself, and motivate yourself, and know that your career is something important. Your career does make a difference. It doesn't matter that you're not, you know, Oprah Winfrey. You don't make billions. But the thousands you make can be sufficient for you, and God will make room for you with those thousands. So I just want to encourage you for that. Okay, and so let's just go on to the next one before we bring this awesome segment. Awesome segment of Women Talk with Miss Worth It to an end for just today. However, we talk about our children. Now, we know Cece, Miss Army, has not been blessed at this time. And I just want to say to this young woman, and the many other young women like her, stop thinking you need to hurry up, because children are a blessing, but also they are weak that some of y'all ain't ready for.
Amen.
So don't think you need to rush this thing. And so we want to commend Sharonda because not only has she been successful in her career, she's moving forward to a successful relationship, and one day she will move forward to being a successful wife and a mother. And so we want to put that in atmosphere for you. But Chelsea, you do have a child.
Mm-hmm.
Big Courtney, yay! Courtney, that's my baby. I remember he used to walk my dog for me. But you did tell us that Courtney did encourage you towards a son and mother relationship. But tell us, raising him, just, you know, because, you know, he does have a relationship with his father. However, he lives full time with you. Raising this young man and putting this in his life, guiding him and leading him, how has that been sometimes a challenge, but has narrowed motivation for you?
Wow, loaded question. I'd say primarily, I mean, the joy of having a child, having this life, that you support, that's growing from you and out of you and into you all at the same time, is such a beautiful thing. But the other piece that has been such a great blessing for me is that, you know, God always uses him to help me understand where I am with God being his child, you know. And so when I'm disciplining him, you know, I can hear God saying, okay, you hear what you're saying? You understand? And so it's been one of those things where it's been a very bittersweet road, and even to the point of him, my child, being a very challenging young man. But he knew who to give him to that can raise the bar for both me being able to respond to the challenge and him understanding why he needs to hone certain things regarding, you know, his personality.
Right. Yeah, that right there, that's awesome, and it's amazing. And Sharonda, please tune in and pull into that, because you're right. When you make a commitment that, you know what, God bless me with one of his children to raise, I'm going to do everything I can to do it and do it to the best of my God-given ability the right way. Sometimes you miss it, but the thing about God is he's so forgiving and he's so loving that if you reach back and you just ask him, he'll help you to correct the situation. Because just as Cece mentioned, you know, raising a challenging young man, I mean, I have three children, and all three of them is challenging. Yeah, all three of them. And I hope they get to you. One thing I love about the family with my sons and my daughter, they always maintain a level of respect for their mother, and Courtney do the same. They always, you know, no matter what our relationship, you know, we can bend, but we have never broken. And so that is such an admirable thing, because a lot of times people allow their relationships to become broken. That's not a good thing. And yes, it can be fixed if you lean on God and everybody's able to look within themselves and forgive the other person and forgive themselves. But one of my missions in life is never to allow my relationship with my children to be broken. And it had time just taking a step back to relationship, male-compatible relationship with a male, had I looked at that in the same way that I'm never going to allow my relationship to be broken, I would have made better steps before saying I do, and definitely would not have made the voice to say I don't. So that's one of the big things, because you have to remember, when men put a woman and a man together, a man and a woman together, they become one. So if you don't want a broken relationship with your children, you definitely should not want a broken relationship with your husband or your wife. And things that bend can be straightened back easily. So thank you for that, Cece and Sharonda. So hearing these things with your children, in the future,
I can hear what you were saying.
I said, so hearing these things about children and how they have been motivating forces for us, in the near future, or the future, I'm not going to say near because near is to be tomorrow, but in the future, when you and your husband decide to bring these tall, long-legged track runners into the room,
I'm
speak on you because I don't know who he is. I'm talking like that, so I'm gonna speak on you. These track runners. What do you anticipate your relationship with your children? What do you anticipate how that will go, that it will be a motivating factor to take you to that next level in your life?
Well, first, one thing that I have known from just people that have kids, they said that it is a love that you have never experienced before. And so for me, what inspires and motivates me now a lot of times is a love. Like, you know, whether it's, you know, the love that I've received from people, from my family, from my sisters, you know, from my significant other, or whether it's the love that I have for myself to love myself enough to just do what it is that I say that I'm going to do, or to strive towards that direction, even if it hasn't been accomplished yet. And so I just know that me having a relationship, bringing somebody in this world that is literally a part of me, like an extension of me, I just know that that's going to be so inspiring. And I know that with that, I'm even going to want to be more of the best example that I could possibly be. So I'm going to strive harder to love harder than I've ever loved before. I'm going to strive harder to work harder than I've ever worked before, as long as it's a balance and not interfering with my ability to parent them. You know, and so I just know that it's going to be even more inspiring and inspirational, you know. So that's what I envision. And I just envision being the best mother that I can possibly be. You know, the best mother that I can possibly be, you know, and of course, I've never been one, so I'm going to need guidance from, you know, God, of course, but, you know, just my siblings, my friends, you know, people that I look and value the way that they parent their children.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we hear the passion in you, and, you know, when you speak about it, and that's one of the things you have to have. You have to have a heart in a passion. And, you know, there are a lot of times people, you know, they say, man, how could that person do that to their children? Well, one, I want to say that the enemy is real. And if you don't stand for one, you stand for the other. And so you are capable of anything. Because even with standing for your God, you are capable, especially if you disconnect at any time. And so the thing is, you do have to have a desire and a love and a passion to be able to not only spare children, but to rear them and guide them and raise them. Now, one of the things I just want to leave with you is, Charlie, because I know that you do have a love for people, and so I know that the love that you'll have for your husband and your children will be phenomenal, because you have a love for people, you have a heart for people, and so that in turn will just channel you into being just an amazing mother. And so I salute you for that. For the future. And for all of you young women, you know, there are so many young women that I'm connected to. One, my daughter, Deontay Lachey Green, she has a daughter. And you know what? It has been just amazing and awesome watching her be the mother that she is. She had a daughter right when she was graduating from college. And one of the things with me was, it's just that being such a spoiled girl, and just my team is just being so connected to me that I didn't know, like, how that would be, but then it was a part of me that knew I put enough in her, and I love her enough that she will love her child even more. And so it has come into fruition. I mean, they are like peanut butter and jelly. They are it to me, and I just admire them. And so, Deontay, if you're listening, as your mother, I just want to salute you and tell you, you are one of the best young mothers that I have seen in your term. I mean, like, you are great with your daughter, and the relationship is just so magical. And that little girl looks in her mother. I see her and I look at her mother, and they're in love. You know, it's just I've never seen. So I want to say to all the young women, Shanti Randolph, who has two beautiful children, you know, the same thing. Continue to embrace the love and continue to flourish with your children. And Quadria Moore, school is another young woman that surrounded herself with no children, Monique Billingsley. You know, and I can go on and on and name Venetia Glass, the young women that I'm connected to who at this time don't have children and some do. You all have and you are doing a great and a phenomenal job being successful women spiritually, career-wise, relationship-wise, and with your children and without children. And some of you may say, well, you know, my relationship's been rocky. Yeah, life is rocky. But the key to being successful is that when you bend, you straighten back up. When you get bent, it almost knock you down. You get back up quickly, and you keep it moving. That is the definition of success in this life, because this walk, this journey, is not without bumps and bruises, but it is with healing and dedication. It is with determination that no matter what you throw at me, I got a force behind me that's greater than anything. That when I he swiftly raises me back up again. All I have to do is call. And so that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, I encourage you to get to know him. If you know him, I encourage you to draw nearer to him in your relationship and take it to a higher level, because there is nothing on planet Earth that can deter you when you have a force of Christ behind you, in front of you, around you, holding you. There's nothing on planet Earth that can stop you. I am living witness. To lose a child, it's to me one of the most devastating things that can possibly happen to me. I have been able to conquer anything that came against me. I have been able to overcome every obstacle. I've been able to jump over every mountain. And even with the loss of my child, I have been able to stand back up again. And so I just want to thank you, ladies, all of you women out there listening. I want to thank you for listening. I want to encourage you to continue to listen. Check us out on Saturdays at 11 a.m. with Women Talk with Miss Worthy. Check us out next Saturday, July 25th at 11 a.m. And we're going to talk about baby, mother, and the other girlfriend. We just want to know, why can't we as women just be cordial? What's stopping us from being cordial? Check us out on August the 1st, Women Talk with Miss Worthy. You involved with your friends, siblings, or cousins, exes. Here's for the men and for the ladies. What is going on? If I went with them, Chelsea looked the other way.
Don't worry.
The fact is, I was involved. I was interested. Lucy, what is wrong with them? But we're going to talk about it, y'all. We're going to break it down. We want to help you. And I definitely want you to help me to understand why the brother got to date his best friend's cousin. I just need some clarity, y'all. So check us out with Women Talk on the Miss Worthy Speaks Blog Talk Radio every Saturday at 11 a.m. Not only can you check us out then, but check us out on Sunday when Miss Worthy Speaks bring you all type of topics from a spiritual perspective and sometimes not. However, July 19th at 7 p.m., technology at our fingertips. What is it doing? What's going on with the texting and driving? What's happening to us as a people? Or do you even care? Check us out, and we will have many topics coming. We're going to start having live football conversation, live basketball conversation with none other than King Green. You know him. That's my son. Yes. Even still, other conversations with all of members from Justice from A to Z. Because the problem is we can't get on the line with Steve Harvey all the time. The problem is I cannot get on The View sometimes. But check it out. All of us are going, and we got something to say. And Ada Zayas is going to say it on Miss Worthy Speaks Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank my host today, Miss Sharonda Otto, for joining us. This fabulous, beautiful, intelligent, courageous Black woman. I thank you for joining us. And I hope that you will join us again. And then we want to thank none other than our co-host on a regular basis, Miss Cece Carr, my bestie. You want to thank our other bestie, Miss Yolalia Hall, for calling in. And we want to thank all of the listeners. If you're listening live or you're listening once it's posted, we thank you in advance. You are the best. You have spent your time with none other than the glorious and the fabulous and the anointed Ms. Worth It on Ms. Worth It Speaks Live Talk Radio. Ladies, I love you. Yeah. Have a fabulous day.
I love you too. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Bye-bye.